At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
I was going to say woo, but not happening today.
I said we.
Better than woo.
I said all the time.
You said boo.
We said boo.
Oh, so oh for the oh. For hello. Reformation.
Hi, everyone. Look at all the people in
Hi.
The order that I put them in.
Birthdays. Birthdays are the best.
My birthday's Halloween.
I know, but you shouldn't boo for your birthday.
Even though. Your
well, actually, people a lot of people say boo on Halloween. There it is.
I have a dumb joke, but I don't think I can say it.
Oh,
we'll talk about it after the podcast.
Well, I can't remember it all.
No, it's funny. It has to do with dyslexia and a man walking into not a bar, but a...
Rab?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
It makes
oh, there's a lady that wears those
the
things.
The undergarments.
Gotcha. There it is.
Oh,
my oldest son came to me and he goes, hey, I got a joke for you. And I'm like, what is it? And he goes, this dyslexic man walked into a lady's undergarment. And I thought that was funny. And he's like, I want to tell my language arts teacher that. And I said, well, I said, you can. I said, but just make sure that no one else is around so you don't offend anybody.
So let's just do it online in front of
Yeah.
She didn't actually say the word.
No, I didn't.
We have what no word? Idea what
We've
we're talking about.
No one.
What yeah. The word bra?
Yeah. Oh.
I know. Cancel us. We're all
But dead. it's a funny joke.
All right.
Especially coming from your son, I would think.
Yeah. It was funny. He was so serious about it too. And I was like,
I can picture Landon saying that.
Yeah.
Yep.
The time will
yeah,
come.
I know.
Hey yep. Mom, I got a joke for you.
Hey-o.
Did you hear that from Pate?
All right. So. How's God messing with you today?
Oh
man, this is gonna be a great podcast.
You just like you just went from dad joke to son joke.
Well, when the Gerbers came walking in today, they were discussing
this true baptism and whether or not there will be animals in the new creation.
Thank you for switching your terminology.
I would assume
on the podcast
would be. Not to cut you off, Anthony.
Well,
I'm sorry,
Anthony.
Didn't
right
give
away.
The signal.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
No, I assumed there would be animals.
The short answer is, Anthony says, look back to the Garden of Eden.
Well,
there were
animals
there, so why would there not be in the new creation?
Wasn't there somewhere in
Isaiah?
Isaiah, I was going to say Revelation, but it wasn't there in the throne room, like oxen and donkeys.
Oh,
what is with oxen in the Bible?
I don't know. Isn't there somewhere in the throne room?
They were one of the animals for sacrifice.
Shall not cover Herod's oxen.
Because they
I don't know. I'm like,
those were important tractors.
Dog. That's like saying don't covet your neighbor's combine today.
Mine would be more like dog. I would, you know, be like, oh, look, you have
I
a covet Chiweenie.
Other people's dog all the time.
You know?
My dog's Donald.
Poor dog.
You should have seen the really awesome picture that Brandy sent to me today of Brooks, her little Brussels Griffin dressed up like Harry Potter with the glasses on it and everything.
I
kid you not.
Okay.
That sounds cute.
So is it Harry?
Potter. It's Harry.
H-A-I-R-Y.
Oh, where's the picture? Oh, that's
I don't know.
My mom or my mother.
What are we talking about?
I don't
see
Jesus. We were going for animals in the new creation, and now we're going for Harry Potter.
Blanked out. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's because Jesus is saying, let's talk about me instead of...
Okay. You're a wizard, Harry. And a dog.
Dang it.
Sorry.
You're a wizardly dog, Harry.
Wizardly dog. Fox.
Fox and the hound.
Forks. It's not. It's
Mike, you guys are all silly today. I thought I was crazy.
No. And my checkout customer service man at Costco today.
What was it?
Was British.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That
oh, did you?
I, oh,
did
man.
You just naturally slip into your British accent?
I had to hold it back. Considering he's like, did you find everything
Consider
all right today?
Consider yourself.
And I was like, yes.
I love you.
It's like all my dreams have come true.
I really love how we went from really bad dad joke, no, not really bad, good dad joke, to Paul like jumping in
to then, well, okay, let's talk about Harry the dog and the British Costco
man.
Guy.
And the British, oh,
it's
man,
all part of the new creation.
I didn't even, I didn't see his name tag. I could have like gave him a shout out because going back to the Lincoln Costco again, just because that, oh man, he was awesome. And then the person that checked out in front of me bought one of those folding like banquet tables. And he's like, oh, I saw, how did he do it? Oh, see, now I'm all messed up. He's like, oh, this
I one saw it
has,
on your buggy.
No, he goes, this one has a dent in it. He goes, well, send Mary back to get one. This one has a dent, sir. I cannot send.
A little Irish.
I know, because I'm all amped up. And yeah, because it was just, oh,
your
no.
Your accent, they're good.
They, oh, man. Yeah, right. And I'm sitting there trying to like, oh, like, can I have your autograph? I'm like, this is awesome. Holy.
Because he has an accent.
Exactly.
What would you do if you actually went to the Britons and like every person that you saw.
What?
The Brits.
The Briton is what.
I think it's because.
Like every person you saw, you'd be like, can you sign my passport?
Well, I should be like, I think I'm related to you because I'm 98% Eastern European.
There we go.
So isn't that like England and Britain? So.
I feel like that's Western European.
Well, don't ruin it for me. I was really excited about
you
that.
You asked. We didn't want to lie.
That's true. I'm not a liar. As Paul's got big eyeballs over there.
Sometimes when you get in the pews and you talk with people, you just go off on
British people,
fun tangents.
You know, the funny thing is that we do have people from Australia downloading the Pew Talk.
Are
so,
they still?
Oh yeah, we still. Oh, have, fun. Hey, yeah. from
send
down
us
under.
Send us a voice memo.
Talk to us.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, because you know, I think Lacey really needs it.
That's okay.
Yes. If you're from down under, if you could create a voicemail intro that says, hello, this is Lacey. I'm sorry, I'm away from my phone right now.
Man.
But please leave your name and number and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Yeah, by all means. I'll totally ship you a salt and pepper black otter shirt.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Whenever we get those. Yeah.
I will make it myself and I will mail it.
There you go.
I'll even pay the customs fee to get you it can across the border.
You can send that to trinityfremontpodcast@gmail.com.
Is that right?
It's been a little while
since I've said that. There it is.
There we
boom.
Go.
Yes. Got
I have
it right.
The technology to do that.
So, well, all right. So exciting. How's God messing with y'all?
Well, apparently we need Australians to ask that question. So, yeah. I wish I had an accent.
You do.
You do.
Nobody wants me to. Nobody wants me to do a voicemail though.
No, but you could from my phone. That would be funny.
Yeah, Paul saying in his Bostonian.
Let's go get our donkeys.
Thanks for calling my cellula.
Do that for me for Christmas. That would be like the best gift.
What? Do a voicemail about going to donkeys? Get my flippers on. Go down to Dunkies. You know, no, I can't do it.
All right.
I've been out of New England for 20 years now.
Oh.
I grew up in New Hampshire, so it wasn't like I was a full-on Bostonian.
That's true.
It
does make
take a lot of
it makes me a glorified Bostonian, but it makes me a true New Englander.
A Yankee?
No. I'm a Yankee. Anyways,
all right.
I asked my wife the other day if I could pull off the For King and Country, like, you know, scarf end. And she's like, no.
No.
And then she goes, you could pull off the rugged New England guy with a flannel coming out and going,
yeah,
you can't get there from here. Just go down the street. It's down the street, down around the left. You mean 4 miles from it? Yeah, that's what I said. Down the street, take a left. You'll find it. If you hit the, if you hit.
If you hit donkeys, you've gone too far.
Yeah, yeah. If you hit the end. If you hit the pond, you've gone too far. Sorry. What are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about choosing church.
I'm in a weird mood because I found out today that I'm good,
yay,
but inconclusive. What? So that's
okay,
awesome.
Hold on. I just want to reiterate what you just said.
Yeah.
I just found out today that
I'm good.
Good.
But it's inconclusive.
But maybe not. But maybe. But
okay. Yeah, what is the jury still out?
Well, I'm still stuck in the original square that I was when I walked in there.
There
I
you go.
Still don't have.
We can have more of this conversation off of the online.
Yes, we sure can. But are those two words that you can use together?
Like, square?
There's nothing of concern, but we don't have answers.
But it's good that we don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. So, yes.
I'll phone in the English teacher and we'll figure
I'm
that out.
I'm just like, are those words we can use together? Because I'm not, I'm like, okay.
Yes,
okay.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, I understand now. But I will, yes. Yeah. I'm just going to go over here and play with my fidget spinner.
Okay, there you go.
I brought a fidget spinner today. too, but I'll leave it alone.
All right, so choose church.
Yes, I do.
Yay.
All right, often. The end.
See ya.
See ya.
Choose church.
I was really, so speaking of choosing church, I was really excited this week because I really, it was pouring Sunday morning at like 10:25. It was really all morning. It was pouring. And I like expected 20 people to be in church. And really at about 10:23, that's what there was. There was about, it was like,
where is everyone?
And then they came. It was like, hi, people. I like you.
Are you nervous?
Well, I looked around because I was actually in my pew on time.
She looks at me. I was.
That sounds funny. I was in my seat at the appropriate time frame and didn't have to be corralled in by my husband, Raylan Wolf, or Pastor Gerber. So I was good.
Yeah.
And I looked around and I'm like, nobody's here. And then all of a sudden, they were like, yeah. If you build it,
I think on those rainy days, it's like, if I wait a little longer, maybe the rain will let up.
I think so too.
It's not letting up. I have to go now.
All right. I'm going to propose 4 questions.
Okay.
Did you make these up?
No, I'm going to read. It's off an article I just read, but
now
we're not going to take their explanation. We're going to talk about them.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay, go.
Question 1. These are probably common questions from people who talk about church and whether or not they need to go.
Yes.
Do I have to go to church to be a Christian?
No.
Yes.
Maybe.
Isn't there the where 3 or more are gathered that is considered church?
Actually, that's a little out of context.
But where have I heard that then?
So that is in the Bible. You'll find it in
with Jesus. Yeah.
It's so a lot of Christians will take that in the context of, oh, where 2 or more are gathered, we're worshiping. And the context that that's coming in is where Jesus is talking about resolving conflict. So when there is a conflict and you can't work it out between the 2 of you and it's a church-based issue and you want to come to the offending person to truly make them better, not harangue them, it's an encouragement that if that God is saying, you know, where 2 or more are gathered in my name, that I will be there to support you. Gotcha. That doesn't mean that God is not there for other reasons when we gather, but that's the context of that verse.
Right. Because also we know that God is present everywhere and in solitude. Like, that was the whole point of solitude, is fill yourself with God. So we can't say, well, oh, there's just one of us, just one of me, so no Jesus.
No, I guess I didn't mean it that way. Right. I was looking at it more along the lines of, if I'm unable to...
That's different. And that's...
Okay.
So
that's where I was like, well, wait, isn't there?
So Jesus loves his bride, which is the church. And so to say, I don't need the bride. Well, that's the bride is the one that Jesus is going to come get. So do we, I mean, this is not we can't make this legalistic that like, oh, if you miss more Sundays than you go to, then Jesus doesn't love you.
Can we take your Christian card?
Yeah. You can get it back. You can get it back at the front desk.
I laminated mine. Last forever.
Tattoo it on your forehead, and then you should be good.
Yeah, and if and you do
like
that,
a QR code, you just scan it.
Yeah.
Beep. I've been to church.
Oh, you covered up part of that QR code.
In case
we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk
We're
about
still
it later.
Talking about church right
that's,
now.
That's for later. The actual official Christian card.
There you go. Yep.
And if you have to forfeit it, you're on probation.
So, like you have to be careful in the way that you answer this question. The answer yes or the answer no, I don't think are good ways to answer this question. Do you need the body of Christ? Yes. Jesus, I mean, at the very beginning when God created Adam, he looks at him and is like, yeah, this isn't good. Even though...
It's the first time God says something isn't good.
Even though Adam is in perfect relationship with God, God's like, yeah, this isn't quite good. It's not good for man to be alone. Wait a second. With God. He needs to be in relationship with others as well. And that is in relationship as we worship and encourage and equip. So we need to be gathered with others. We need to go to that place where Jesus has promised to bring the forgiveness of sins, to bring where his sacraments are present. But, you know, for the shut-in who's stuck at home, who can't get to worship, or the, for the, you know, the mom who's with, you know, her preemie and in the hospital 24/7 or whatever, there's still, I mean, we can...
But the church should go to them.
Yeah, yeah. It's not about the building.
Yeah, what?
Oh.
All right, give me your Christian card.
Sorry.
You can have this back when you can handle it.
That's what I love. So I got a call to go visit someone. I was driving home from the conference. Thank you, Holy Spirits. I was driving home from the conference on Friday, pastor's conference or all church workers conference for the district. Got home, got sat down, and I looked at my email and I was like, uh-oh. There was somebody in the hospital, had been in a car accident. And so I'm like, I gotta go. So I had to squeeze it in because I had the time that is a 45 minute drive each way, and I had a wedding rehearsal that night. So I had to book it, get there. I did like stop and go back. That it took an extra minute to get my pastor badge. That way, in case I was booking a little too much, I could show the wonderful servants of our law enforcement that I'm on duty.
So they give you an escort.
Yep.
I thought you had a Christian card though. Couldn't you just?
No.
There's been a car accident.
No, this is the next level. You guys are just regular Christians. This is the platinum card.
The platinum card. To get 2% back.
Titanium.
For
every soul saved. This is a joke.
Yes, absolutely. But no, I got there. This is where I'm going with this story. I got there and there were already other church members there.
Oh.
That's the body of Christ. Being there for people, encouraging, equipping. It does not have to happen in the building. But really, when we're talking about choosing church, really what this is kind of in two ways. Because we already talked about committing to community and the importance of surrounding yourself with fellow believers. This is really committing to or choosing to surround yourself or put yourself in a place where you will consistently hear the good news of Jesus, where you will consistently be reminded of his death and resurrection for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That's what we're talking about when we mean to choose church. So do you need to go to church? You need to be consistently reminded of your sinfulness. You need to be consistently reminded that you have someone who died for you, and be told that your sins are forgiven as you confess those. You need to receive body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. I'm not the final judge. I'm glad I don't have to be. But it'd be hard pressed to show up at the gates of heaven and say, yeah, I really didn't need your body, even though you're the head of the body, Jesus. I didn't really need your body throughout my life, but am I good now?
Or the other side of it is, yeah, you know, you said this is one of the most important things I can do to show that I care about you consistently. And I was just like,
it really wasn't that important in life.
But thanks for dying for me. I appreciated that part.
That was nice.
So in the same article, they put it this way, which is essentially what you just said. If we remain isolated, we will never hear God's word preached and taught, and we'll never have the opportunity to serve others in the name of Christ. Ask God to give you desire to grow in your faith and then lead you to go to church that's right for you. Remember, God is even more concerned about your spiritual growth than you are. Yeah. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes, go. I copied Good job. His answer.
Way to go, Billy Graham. All right.
Yeah. He might know what he's doing.
Question two.
What?
No, that was question one. Oh. So the question one was, do you need to go to church to be a Christian to get the card, not the platinum card, just the regular card?
And
that is a joke, people.
Let me also come back to that.
Please remember that I'm joking.
The way that the question's asked, because I kind of went off a little bit. To be a Christian, what a Christian is a follower of Christ. We can split hairs in Christian. Am I a Christian? Am I saved? Will I spend eternity with Jesus? A Christian is a follower of Christ. So I would even go further in on, yes, you need to go to church, because a follower of Christ follows Christ, and that's what he did.
To church.
Just follow him.
Following to church.
Just get on the trolley. The leader bus.
Question two.
Okay.
I've given up on church. The last church I attended was had so many divisions and conflicts that I vowed never to go to church again.
That happens.
Mm-hmm. That is not an uncommon thing that I hear. Trinity, but I've heard it's about other stuff.
Really it's more of a statement, but
the question is, now what?
How would you get that individual to turn their...
Not really a question, but except that it's a question of, I'm not going to church anymore because of the conflicts. So convince me that that is still important then.
Well,
you're looking at me. I talked a lot in the last one.
And I think you look at it and understanding that those hurts are real and division, particularly if you're in the heart of it, can absolutely drive a wedge. So if someone's listening to this and this has happened to you, I'm sorry that that's happened to you. And quite frankly, the body of Christ shouldn't be acting like that with those that Jesus died for, which is all of us. But on the flip side of that, who do we follow as a Christian? As a Christ follower, we follow Christ. We don't follow the people in the church who are all sinners. We'd like to think that because we love Jesus and we attend church that we're better off than anyone else. And on one hand, we're making strides to be better people, but I need Jesus just as much as the day I was born. I'm still a sinner. I would hope that my sins, first off, that I ask God for forgiveness of them, but I hope my sins don't drive someone away from a church. church. But at the same time, you know, we look to what Christ has called us to do. And one of the blessings in that is that there are a lot of churches out there. So I would encourage someone, you know, if division has hurt you, you don't have to go back to that church, but find a church home that can wrap its arms around you and preaches Christ to you, because that's who we follow, not some of the dumb, stupid, sinful people that we sometimes get caught up with.
Of course,
we are.
I once heard that if you find the perfect church, you'll stop being perfect the minute that I join. So,
yeah, true.
I am not perfect.
Yep. I get it. Well, and that's the church is the church again. The is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, but we are all members of it. And
regardless of what building you go to,
right? And we are sinful.
This question or statement is mainly focusing on the building.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But in those buildings are a bunch of poor, miserable sinners. And so
salt and pepper, black otter, my friend.
Yep. Oh, boom. Yeah. Look at that Latin. All right.
It's only taken me 64 episodes. Yes.
68.
I was close.
Yeah.
But we are like in that church is a bunch of people trying to follow Jesus, but also failing at times. And so I'm glad you started this, because my sarcastic response was going to be, well, just suck it up, buttercup, and go to church. But there really are hurts there. There really are people who have been hurt by the church really been hurt by individuals, or been hurt by the corporate structure of, you know, or by people in leadership. And that sucks that's the representation of Jesus that you have. And that's where, the best we can is really just go find a church that is a good representation of Jesus, that will love you, that will care for you, that will walk with you while you process the pain and the grief and whatever that is. Because all of us have something, and, you know, every one of you can probably think of right now someone that in a church that hurt you. And I bet every one of you has someone in a church that can think of you, me, that hurt them, and in a church setting of some sort. And so that's where we need to be willing to offer forgiveness, even on behalf of others. Like if you were to come to talk to me and have that conversation, you know, my initial response is, you know, on behalf of the church, I'm sorry. I apologize that has happened. How can we make amends? How can we make up for how you have been wronged?
Yeah. And he references Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. So kind of, because we're called to that. So therefore you need the forgiveness. You need to get past that hurt because you're called to peace.
Yeah.
That's what you're basically saying.
Well, and the book of Colossians is a letter written by the apostle Paul, and all of Paul's letters are either to individual Christians or churches, and a majority of them are to churches who weren't getting it right.
Right.
And so, you know, that was almost 2,000 years ago, and we still can't 100% get it right.
Yeah.
And so it proves that sin is pervasive, and it's, of course, this excuse never makes bullying right, but it goes back to the expression, hurt people, meaning that the people in the church hurting you were probably hurt before you encountered them. And that doesn't give them license to be a jerk to you, but to have some compassion of, you don't know what led them to this moment.
I also want to look at Jesus in this situation. Jesus went to church every day. Now it looked different. It was temples and synagogues. And he knew a lot of the people there were pretty messed up, because it was the Pharisees and the scribes who he called out often. He also flipped some tables at times. So he wasn't just like, oh, this is fine, whatever. If there's a church, you know, whether it's Trinity or whether it's another church, if there's a church that is doing things that are against God's will, doing things that are hurting people, you don't just sit back. You call them out and talk about it, so that body can grow and that body can get better. But Jesus continued to go, even though, he went to teach and he went to, but he also went because that was the place where God was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the place where we were called to be in worship. And so even though there were others around him that he knew had wrong, bad motives, or that he knew had no clue what was actually supposed to be happening, he was still there in the midst of them.
Well, and you look at the Pharisees, they were the group that, of course, this was part of God's plan and Jesus allowed it to happen, but they were the group that led to his crucifixion.
Yep.
But But what was interesting is Jesus, being full God, knew exactly what group was going to do it and which people were behind it. But he met with several Pharisees in the Bible. In fact, John 3:16 is recorded from a conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee. St. Paul, who I referenced earlier, was a Pharisee before Jesus got a hold of him. So it takes extreme love, but Jesus experienced that hurt too. If someone has lashed out at you viciously in a church, they did it to Jesus too. It's not a feeling he was unfamiliar with.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, it's always been said that Jesus has a plan for you. Well, sadly, sometimes part of that plan isn't happy. It's not
sunshine
and cupcakes. Yeah. So you could look at it that maybe that was part of his plan for you, to find another church to go to, or to bring help and love to the church that is having problems or frustrations or hurt feelings, or, you know, because he might be using you to mend, to fix, to repair, or to make another place better. You don't know, because if you're hurt, there's a good chance that maybe somebody else has been hurt too. And it can be simple things as changing music, changing service times. You know, sometimes the small things are what frustrate people the most, because no one likes change.
What?
You know?
What?
Except for Paul.
I'm fine with it.
But there's a good majority of people that are like, no, we've always done it this way. And
in every church, not just in Lutheran churches, yes, by the way.
Yes, I was going to say, in every church. But for individuals, they're like, well, no, this is how this was done. This is what I'm used to. This is what I'm comfortable with. And either God is using that to you to open your eyes to be like, no, we can do things a different way and still get the same outcome.
That kind of leads us into the next question. Well, question and statement.
Gosh, it's like I'm a genius
today. I'm going to call them statements because they're not really.
Okay.
We recently moved, and I suppose we ought to get involved in the local church, but I'm not sure it's worth the effort. Our previous one did not do much for us.
Then you're at the wrong church.
Well,
that's what he's saying. They recently moved.
Yeah.
And I suppose we should do it but the last one church we were at didn't do much for us.
I will say that the church is not intended to fulfill all my needs. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't do that, but the point of going to worship is to worship and to be in communion with God's people and pointing each other to Jesus. So, this one didn't have a ministry for young families, so my children didn't have any place to belong. I just hear that a lot, like, I have this list of things I'm looking for in a church, and this one doesn't really check all the boxes. And to some extent, I think, like, personality wise, I have preferences for where I like to go to church and worship. I know what I like that to look like, and I think that's okay. But if I'm looking for the church to check all of my boxes and say, you've done all this for me, that's not the point of going to church.
It's not a house. Like, you don't have a checklist, right?
I'm not going,
I need big stained glass windows, I need a children's ministry, we need to have
no
guitar player jumping around.
Right.
Yeah.
A drum cage we don't use, you know.
Yeah. Sunday school where I can drop my children off and go get it.
Sorry, that was.
Wow. Let's just throw some of those all out.
I know. I can feel that there are things about every church I've been in where I'm like, if I had it my way, I wouldn't do that. But for one, I go where my husband goes now, so I don't really have a choice where I go.
Is there a reason that we patted my belly for that one?
I was going to hit you here, but then I was going to
hit that. The microphone was in the way. Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah, you're stuck.
And, everybody likes different things. Right. I love the idea of family Sunday school.
Me too.
Sadly, I'm kind of in an odd spot because I have a student.
You're in family confirmation.
Child in family confirmation and a child that finds a family in Sunday school.
There you go.
So I'm glad that I have those relationships and I can be like, okay, Hudson's coming in today, you know, and we've had a good morning. Or
I think in our culture, we're at a point where if something doesn't benefit me fully and fill me up, then it's not worth my time and my energy. And church is one thing for a lot of things. Okay, that holds true, and I'll go with you on that. But I think church is one thing where that does not apply. Mm-hmm. If I'm not fully filled up by this, if I'm uncomfortable by, and there are things that are against God's word and his teaching that are red flags and do need to be addressed. But if it's a matter of personal preference, that's not something I think is a valid reason to not go.
Mm-hmm. And because churches is a two-way relationship. relationship. You know, it's Christ and his bride. So it's a marriage of sorts. So we don't just go there to get filled up. You know, some days, you know, whether it's distractions or things on our mind, whether, you know, your football team lost in a horrible way the night before, who knows? I mean, things do distract us and make it harder to concentrate. But also church is about praising God, even when I don't feel like
praising God.
Yeah. And that's why God calls us to worship, because not only are we supposed to praise him, but that body of Christ, you know, if we're in one of those funks that life sometimes just throws at us, you know, sometimes it's just that, you know, I didn't want to go to church today. I wasn't feeling it, but one of my good friends came and just shook my hand today. Like, and just that feeling of not being alone is huge. Yep. And that's one of the, that was one of the hardest things for me when we were in the initial waves of COVID. My bad. Coof.
The coof. We don't want to be
a coronacation.
Yes. When we were in the initial waves of the coof, and you know, as we were figuring out how do we deal with this situation when we couldn't worship in person, that was one of the hardest things for me. Is I look forward to seeing y'all. Like you guys are a great support, whether it's been a great week or a bad week or anything in between. And I think God, that's one of the reasons God calls us together, is we weren't meant to do this thing called life alone.
And that's one of, since I've moved around several different places, one of the trends that I've seen is the church building that is trying to satisfy that. So therefore, it's not necessarily looking at everything that Jesus says. It kind of we call it the happy gospel. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of...
It's called the theology of glory.
Yeah. And you go in there and you're supposed to be feeling good and uplifted all the time. I always feel uplifted. You know, I hear that a lot. I go to my church because I always feel uplifted afterwards. And you're like, okay.
So they just tell you everything you wanted to hear.
Yeah. Because there is times that, I would generally say I feel conflicted more when I leave because I'm like, oh, man, I'm just horrible at this.
Well, and I can think, yeah, the parallel I'm drawing in my mind is I can think of when I was in cross country and track. When the meets went well, coach, you know, it was a pretty happy locker room. But there were times when things didn't go well and coach wasn't happy and the rest of us heard about it and we needed to hear about it. There are times when we need to hear about where we're not living up to what God has called us. Not the, ooh, you're not great, but Jesus loves you and that's what counts. No, sometimes you need to be called out because Jesus wants better for us than to stay where we are.
Yeah,
and I think, again, kind of really going back to this of it wasn't worth it because I didn't get my needs met. I think also the question is, how are you meeting the needs of others? Because it's not about, and I say this as one of the church staff members, it's not about did the church staff do everything that I needed the church staff to do. We can't, just period, we can't. We need the church to be the church. And that's, again, like, it's really interesting when, you know, if I'll get a call, you know, like going to the hospital, and I'll, you know, if something comes up and I get there, or really what will happen is like, hey, pastor, you didn't come see me in the hospital. Did I know you were in the hospital? Well, 10 other people from church came to see me and you didn't. Sorry. So yay, the church came to see, the church was being the church. And also, I'm not a mind reader. But like, that's like, that is
excuses. Are any of my members current? Yeah, we excuses can't tell you that, sir.
Yeah. But that is,
I'm sorry. We can't, like, we can't divulge that information.
But what's like, I see that as beautiful. Like, I see that as the church, like you had 10 people coming to visit you and to encourage you and to pray with you and read God's word with you. And a lot of times people say, yes, but you didn't. So the church failed. And that's where, what do we want from the church? And is it the staff to do everything, or is it to build up a relationship of, you know, people being the priesthood of all believers doing the work of Jesus?
Yeah.
All right. You got off my soapbox on that one.
You ready for the next statement?
Bring it on.
All right. This is the last one. But at least the last one we have. The conversation's not over unless we want it to be.
Yeah.
All right. I'm very busy during the week and I need my weekends to relax. And anyways, amen. I can feel God's presence hiking in the woods as much as in some churches.
If it were all about you, that would be a very good statement.
What do you mean, Casey? It's not lazy plus not. Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just...
There are benefits of being alone with God. Mm-hmm. We talked about seeking solitude. We have our tag time, our time alone with God, but we also need our tick time, our time in Christian community. That is probably a true statement that I can feel God in the mountains as much as I can feel him in church. Feelings are fleeting. And not to be trusted, though. Mm-hmm. Just FYI. Mm-hmm. But it, like, feelings are, God gave us feelings too. So it's not like if you feel something, that's the devil working in you. But a feeling of something in the mountains when I'm just walking along and it's quiet compared to the pastor standing up front and saying, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those are very different. Whether or not I feel forgiven when the pastor speaks that to me, it happened, which was,
and it's true.
And it's true. Which was, by the way, at the pastor's conference, we were going to worship and we were kind of going through it. And all of a sudden it hit me like, oh, that's the first time someone's spoken those words to me in like 4 months. Cause I speak them every weekend.
Start telling.
Yes.
Yeah.
As, a called and ordained servant of the Lord.
Say that.
Oh, okay.
Get the lines right.
I would have never.
But it just was like
my pleasure to remind you that Jesus has forgiven your sins.
But it was like, I don't tear up often. but that was like that got me a little bit. I go, oh, I need to hear that.
Now let's look at the other side of that statement. I'm very busy during the week and I need a weekend to relax, or I'm super busy because we have sports balls.
What if it's music?
And I don't, it's not even,
or music,
it's not even I need the weekend to relax. It's I gotta do it. My weekends are full of other scheduled things that are more important than Jesus. But yeah, let's go with the relax.
I can go in the mountains, right?
Maybe it's,
yeah,
I think there's,
it is relaxing, but
I guess in my mind, I think there would be a balance, and I don't know how to explain it, but I think, yes, you know, time alone in the mountains where you can be with your thoughts and with your prayers, if that is what you're doing when you're in the mountains, if you're just climbing Everest just to climb Everest, or if you're climbing Everest and go,
I just
wow, this
climb
is
Everest
what Jesus
today.
Sees.
You're not breathing, you know? There you have
them. Yeah.
You know, then I'm like, it's, I guess there's, I'll just shut up. I just think there's a difference, but I don't know how to explain
it. We kind of talked
balance,
last
but
week
I don't know how to explain it.
About, maybe it wasn't last week, but the priority is like, if you set the goal, I want my children to know Christ, what about your life and your routines now reflect that
there
goal?
There you go.
And if someone were to look at your life and say, they prioritize Jesus because they do this, can they, if that's my life, can people actually see that and say that about me?
Right.
Do I prioritize Jesus, but I don't go to church? I don't spend time with him. I don't pray. Do I really prioritize Jesus?
But along those same lines, the way that the saying that gets me on that is, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Like that, I keep that. There's a little card that I keep that.
It's Christian right. card.
Yeah, it's on the back. That one's just gold, right?
Yeah.
That's only 1%.
I don't.
That's
an
FAQ on the back.
Yeah, exactly. In the small print.
It's only 1% back for every soul is saved.
Yep.
Okay.
Working on it. It's a joke, guys.
I know. I don't get
That's
letters.
Funny.
We'll get letters.
Emails.
Funny. Well, let's
get an email. TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com.
I feel like there should be frequent like flyer miles or something.
All right.
That's the new creation.
Here's where I want to go with this.
I don't have enough I can't say that.
One, you do need rest. Absolutely. Your body was not created to go 100 miles an hour constantly. That's why the Sabbath was created, to rest. But the word Sabbath, the Hebrew word Shabbat, and we've talked about this before, literally means to stop, to cease from doing the other things that you're used to doing. And so in a sense, a little bit of that is, if I just go out and do, you know, if I go off in a quiet place to pray, or if I go out in the mountains, those sorts of things, that kind of is. But it's not just about to stop. It's to stop to be with God. Just like it's, you know, solitude was not about just being alone, about being alone with God. What's really cool, and we don't do this, and we probably should, but take a look at the Jewish Sabbath. It doesn't, like, when we think Sabbath, we think get up in the morning, go to church. Like that's our Sabbath, is that go to church. When they start their Sabbath, you know, their Sabbath day is Saturday, but it starts sundown Friday night. The first thing they do is light a candle and eat. Some they sing, they pray in there as well. But then they go to bed. And so what they're doing, they turn off everything else. They light a candle. They spend time together as a family. They eat, they sing, they pray. Then they go to bed. And then they wake up the next morning and they worship. What's beautiful about that is they actually slow down. They slow down their rhythms so that they can stop. How many of you have driven with a new driver that doesn't know how to use the brake? And they're driving along and they're like, oh, I need, and they just slam on the brakes, right? And you hit your head. And then they like, let's go.
What's he saying about your driving, Stacey?
No, she's good.
I'm an excellent
driver. She is.
There's the on the gas people and the off the gas people. They're either on it or off it.
Well,
whether they're a new
like
driver.
The Air Force base. Sorry.
I digress.
But that's OFFUTT.
Oh, okay. So, but
or just T.
But that's what a lot of us do in worship. We go and probably even on the way we're like writing our to do list of what we need to do on Sunday or Sunday afternoon. Maybe even making the grocery list for what's best is if we can even drop our kids off and then we can go do our groceries and then we can come back. We can go to church, we slam on the brakes
for an hour
and then slam on the gas like,
and God forbid you go a little longer.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know why that wasn't satisfying. I don't know why that wasn't fulfilling. Well, because you just slammed on the brakes, slammed, like all of your family just went into the front of the back of the seats. And then you're like, all right, let's go. That's not restful. That's not relaxing. That's why I love the beauty of the act, like the Sabbath, the way the Jews do it, the Jewish people do it, is they actually slow down for a loving union with God. It's not how can I squeeze church into my day, let's hope it doesn't get in the way of the rest of my plans, but like we need more than an hour, and even 2 hours for some is like, oh, you want me to come to Bible class or confirmation or Sunday school too? That doesn't fit.
And back in the day they used to, when I say back in the day, you used to hear stories of church being more a priority even 30 40 years ago, God, which is the 80s, 50 years ago.
That's just us, Paul.
I know. I'm so old.
I was born in the 80s.
Me too.
I lived through all of them.
Do you think that there is a correlation between the decline? I'm assuming we all believe that there's a decline in morality within the United States and the priority of church being in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say also it's the mentality. It's not just not attending church. It's the what do I get out of the situation? Like, what is it for me that I get out of it?
Consumerism.
Because we put ourselves at the center of the equation. And, church is not something that you just hit up to get a high and feel better. Some days, I have never been happier than leaving a church on certain Sundays. But that is not every Sunday. And so if we're looking, what can I get out of church? We're going to chase something else. And when we chase something because of what we can get out of it, how happy we will be, then we're going to chase other things eventually. And I think that is the key of some of what we've seen, at least in the United States as of late, what we've seen not only attendance in church drop, but some of the rise of questionable moral standards is the idea that what feels good to me is what I should be doing. And you do your thing, whatever makes you feel good, but don't tell me what to do because that doesn't feel good to me. And at no point in any of that sentence did I mention the name or those sentences, the name of God, but that's what should be at the center of everything. And when we take God out of the center and put us in it, of course we're going to go off. Of course we're going to go off the beaten path.
And that's, I think so. Yeah, Paul, I just said yes to your answer, which really made you happy. I could tell. No,
it is a conversation.
Yeah. What happened? What I see a lot of is now there are more options. There's more stuff, and part of that's a little bit of correlation. But what frustrates me is we signed up for a league and it's on Sunday, so we can't do anything about it. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, can't do it.
Can't do it. And if more people would stand up and say, nope, we're not doing it. We have more important things on Sunday morning than soccer, volleyball, basketball, baseball, whatever, then they wouldn't play. And also, your third grader, it's not going to matter whether or not they
play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
not going pro.
Michael Jordan didn't start playing basketball on a team until halfway through high school.
And it wasn't on a Sunday.
Seriously? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
And then
I should read that Who is Michael Jordan book that I have in the library. or who was.
And of course,
he's still alive.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
I never know that because some of it is like, what is the Antarctic?
Yeah. And if you talk to anybody, at least in the Fremont area, in Nebraska area, they would all say when they were growing up, Wednesday night was because the Catholics had the CCC, whatever they call them.
CCD.
Whatever. But it was a youth night or it was when they did stuff.
Yep.
And that has kind of went to the wayside as well because of sports ball or
actually, it's interesting. I think think Wednesday nights are still more sacred than Sunday mornings.
Agreed.
I agree too.
You're probably right.
I know because we do confirmation on Sunday mornings. I can guarantee you if we had stuff Saturday night or if we had stuff confirmation Wednesday night and instead of Sunday mornings, we would have no problems with attendance. But Sunday morning, there's other better things happening. Mm-hmm. And I put better in quotes, even though I didn't actually air quote it. But
well, and on top of that, of course, what we learn in confirmation is important, but one of the commandments is attending church. And across the board, you know, we see that dropping. And sometimes putting people in the building is the best way to help in that.
I almost think that technology is a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. Because 40 years ago, 50 years ago, there wasn't as much of all of this. So on a Sunday, it was, we go to church, we come home, we have a family dinner, whatever. And then the Sunday, the rest of the day was yours. And now that we've made all these advancements and...
You got to put quotes around that word.
Advancements. There are so many more... Distractions are more readily available because there's so many other things that are pulling you in different directions. There's sports, there's TVs, there's... I don't know, everything, mm-hmm. you know? So having it's great because you can bring church to shut-ins. You can bring Bible studies to shut-ins. You can have a Bible study when you're stuck in a car someplace because you're waiting for your child to finish up something that they're doing. But 50 years ago, you didn't have that. So it was just like, nope, I have nowhere else to be but here. But okay. I do like technology. Half the time I don't know where this is, but you know.
It's okay. Going back to the being challenge, one thing I was thinking this week with choosing church. I think for me personally, that's the easiest one for me of all of these habits that we've done. Just because since
it's
I was born,
your habit already.
Yeah, I've gone to church nearly every Sunday since the week I was born. So it's been ingrained my whole life. But also when we choose church, we're also, help me remember, committing to community because we're there with a community of believers. We are
studying scripture. There you go.
Like that's what it is in my head.
Yep.
Prayer. We're praying.
Prioritizing prayer.
This was the fifth one.
The only one I thought was seek solitude.
Yes. I'm like, someday maybe when my kids are grown and I'm sitting in the pew alone, maybe that will feel more like
and then,
solitary me and God. But now it doesn't feel like that.
But even it is really cool when there are a couple of members that I see that come in, they come early so they can spend some time.
Yeah, there's an opportunity to do that.
But
that one in choosing church, you're also allowing yourself to do these other things too.
Yep.
And
it's kind of the capstone.
Yeah.
It's the place where a lot of this happens.
So if you're looking for a place to start, maybe that's the obvious place to start.
And honestly, it's probably easiest to do.
It's a set time every week.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to
take the lead on it.
Right.
Like it's
it's not passive. I mean, it's participatory. Yeah. But yeah, you're not taking the lead. You can come in. You can sit down. You can follow what you're told to do. Stand up. Sit down. Rah rah rah.
It's a spoon ball.
What spoon ball?
Sis spoon ball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you don't have to lead that. You don't have to choose which passage to read. You don't have to choose which songs to sing. You don't have to choose what to pray. You can participate in that by, you know, hearing the word and letting it kind of, you know, digesting it, but then also hearing the sermon and considering how that's God's word speaking to you. You don't have to choose the songs. You don't have to, even though you're not speaking out loud the prayers other than the Lord's Prayer, you're still praying them, right? They're going through your head. You're still praying them. Now, this week, just FYI, just a heads up that you'll be more active in the prayers this week, but it won't be out loud, so that'll be fine.
Are we praying in silence in our rows? Because I find that very awkward.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just playing music when you're doing it. So,
Paul, I'll come play music with you today. I'm not very good.
I just whispered to my kids.
There's a drum cage. Hop in. During the prayers, just randomly hit the drum.
I'll just take. Boom. I won't even use sticks. I'll just air drum it.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Man,
you can do this, Lacey.
You can do this.
I don't know what it is.
Lead your kids.
It's awkward.
It is because I'm like,
that's a quiet.
Because like, usually, then one of them goes, "I'm gonna go to the bathroom." I'm like, "No," and Jeff's like, "You can take."
Dear Jesus.
Exactly.
Let's go.
And then Peyton's like, "Achoo!" I'm like, "Do you have a tissue?" I'm like, "We're praying here. This is
it's a holy moment. Quit it."
Right.
This is a holy moment.
You listen to me.
Yep.
Yeah, talking about not feeling good after worship sometimes. Just sit with four children and then you're like, oh man.
You know,
so even in God's house, I'm just
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll have to send one to the bathroom before. I'll make sure there's a box of tissues and I'll give Jeff cue cards. I'll be like, here you go.
I will give you very specific cues on what to pray for.
And then look at Jeff and go.
I'll give you very specific cues. But we're gonna mix a couple things up in prayers this weekend. And maybe some other things.
Come find out.
We're wrapping up commit to community and study scripture and prioritize prayer and seek solitude and choose church. What if as we gathered together as a church in community, what if we practiced prioritizing prayer and studying scripture especially?
In a church?
You know, it just might be crazy enough to work.
So
I'm surprised Paul doesn't have any words.
He looks like he's.
Paul's lying. Like, I'm just gonna go.
No, I was answering comments.
We have comments.
Yeah, it's not. It's fine.
Uh oh.
So yeah, I'm sorry. My attention was elsewhere. So we have wrapped it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
You feel like you
choose.
Have.
Don't forget.
Choose church.
Oh
hold on.
That's Paul after, hasn't after, done his
after,
whole
that's
thing.
After the prayer, after we haven't.
Oh.
Have
yeah. When we talk all about right. new things and going on this week,
forgot the order.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We don't want change. This is the way we've always done it. Stay on the script.
Give me your Christian card now.
Yeah, you only get 0.5% for every soul saved. Gerber gets 2%. I don't know. You got that platinum card.
Boom.
I'll just ride on his wake.
Does she have an APR too?
No. I mean, I got the introductory card. It doesn't even have an address on it.
John Doe. At least your name's written in gold, but it's not my name.
It's that card that the kids get when they have no credit and they're like, here, we'll give you $20 to spend.
You have a $500 credit limit.
And at that point, it seems like $500?
Wow. Yeah, and then you think to yourself, I will just use this card to build credit. I have no way of paying for it, but I will use it to build credit.
Isn't that what you
go
do?
Buy a pack of gum and then pay it off.
How? I have no job.
All right. Well, we just train. Stacy. Would you like to prioritize prayer in our group right now?
Sure. Yes. All right. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together tonight that we've had to talk about specifically church, Lord, and what it means to be the body of Christ, but also what it means to go to church, what that looks like. Sometimes it's a comfortable feeling. Sometimes it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. But Lord, we ask that you would help motivate us and our friends and neighbors to go to church, to take that step, to come into your house, to worship you, to hear your gospel preached, to pray, to hear your word. Lord, where there are hurts, we lay them at your feet, Lord, and we ask that you would cover them with your grace, with your mercy, that you would offer healing to those who have been wounded by the people in the church and the church in general, and that you would allow their hearts to come to a point where they can try again, because we know it is important to continue to seek you, to come into your presence and to be with your people. Lord, we just pray for all of the people listening tonight, Lord, that even amidst our jokes and our laughing, Lord, that your truth was heard, and that there would be pieces of our conversation that would just stick in people's minds, Lord, and that they would know that they can trust you and that it is valuable and worthwhile to come into your presence in your house. Amen.
Before you go, you talk about this Friday. I want to pull up some stuff for you. So
yes, absolutely. So this Friday, we have our trunk or treat from 5:30 to 7 o'clock.
Trunk treat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There will be candy. There will be a few games and we'll have tacos. That you will have to pay for the tacos.
And nachos.
Do you
nachos.
Know
steak
if
fries.
They'll have the steak
fries. Fries.
I was just gonna ask. The fryer better be working.
I can
please
call.
Confirm.
I'll work on that.
I went up to that
steak
truck
fries
because it was Hudson's birthday and he was like, Mom, I want steak fries. And I go up there and there's a big green X
I
over
know.
Top
you,
of it.
You still gotta ask
time,
sometimes.
You still have to ask because they did that one time and they had them.
Okay. Because I'm
but
like,
then the next time they said, no, the fryer's not on.
Because okay, I looked at him and I was like, I'm assuming that big green X means like you're out and not
I think,
order this one.
I think it gets hot in that place.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
I think they prefer to not always run the fryer, so they only turn it on for special events like trunk or treat.
Yeah, they're delicious.
I hope.
But I will do my best to confirm / make sure the fryer is on. But even if
the
it's not, the tacos are excellent.
They are delicious.
Like they are.
And the fajita burrito.
The burritos are like.
Or California burrito. Oh,
I heard
my gosh.
The spicy was very spicy.
Mm. Yes.
So I won't get that.
It's a warning.
But where kids can wear their costumes and adults, if you have a costume you want to wear, we will not discriminate. Oscars that either, but the candy is for the kids.
That's not true.
And there's, yeah,
you're Chris Davis, I will eat all my almond joys if you come to my trunk, because no other child besides your own will take them.
I love almond joys, except I like Mounds better.
The blue ones?
No, that's almond joys.
Okay, that's what's
Mounds
in the
red ones, with the dark chocolate with no nuts.
No, I don't have those. I just bought a Costco size bag, and I know they've got.
I just bought 10 Costco bags. Well, because my office, they both have, both my offices have.
What is that?
Our time limit. Stop talking.
Stop.
Don't touch anything, Paul.
Anyways. So, should we talk about t-shirts?
Sure. What was that?
That was me. Oh. I was making fun of your
I had a
noise.
Frog in my throat.
So, you have a QR card, but everybody who's watching this right now is probably on their phone.
Yep. These t-shirts were brought to you by D&T Shirtified in Fremont. Tim does a fantastic job at helping us create new Trinity merchandise. So, this site, you'll go to it, is open for the next 13 days.
The URL in the comments.
Fantastic. All of these items will be available until November 8th, and then the store gets shut down, and then the shirts will be printed.
Let me guess, in 13 days, 5 hours, 48
you
minutes.
You sure got it. If you have any questions, let me know.
Is the time limit because?
The time limit is because of two things. One, if you keep something open too long, people kind of forget about it. And then two, well, we all know that sometimes inventories aren't the greatest on things, so to prevent as much out of stock as possible for different things. Yeah. So
the sweatshirts are those ones that the children can wear anytime at school.
That is correct. Yes,
okay. The sweatshirts. My children wanted to know.
Yes, no. any of those sweatshirts can be worn any time at Trinity as long as your polo shirt is underneath it.
Okay.
Unless it's a Friday, and then you could wear
a Trinity engine nerding t-shirt under your Trinity engineering.
Yes,
sweatshirt.
Exactly. And those joggers, I haven't asked yet, but I'm going to see if possibly.
Officially asking right now.
Let's wait and just case.
So I've got a couple plans for, I shouldn't say I, the athletics have a couple plans for those. So they make great basketball warm-ups. So,
okay.
Good job.
Yeah, and then you may want to get used to the site because that might be where some salt and pepper black otter things come in the future, in time for something.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, one day I should just do that.
Time for Christmas.
I have no time.
What? You have all the time.
All the time.
Can you say I have no time, but all the time in a British voice?
All the time.
In a British voice.
I have a frog in my throat. It's not.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're dead to me.
That's a little harsh.
I know. Wow. That escalated fast.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go. But yep.
All right. So the URL for this site is in the comments below for all our cross platforms that we're currently going live, including my own. And so please go.
Okay.
Spend some money.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. So it makes great Christmas gifts, and hoping that if these go well, we'll roll out another round of something else and include track and volleyball
and Pew Talk merch.
And Pew Talk merch. Yes. I'm assuming D&T can make almost.
They can make salt and pepper black otters.
They sure can.
I already have a design. I just.
Yep. Let's go.
There we go.
All right.
Boom.
So anybody else?
Nighty night.
We'll be good?
I think we're good.
Be good.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Oh, bye-bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.